I want to talk to you about the mother's necessary qualities. What are her responsibilities according to the Word of God? Now, I would like for you now, as we turn on the overhead projector, I would like for you on your notes to draw a great big C. Think of about, a fifth or a quarter of your page, maybe about a quarter of the page. And I want you to put a great big C on your notes. For all of these words that I'm going to share with you in this series tonight are Bible words that begin with the letter C. C is in corn. And we ought to remember corn and Iowa very well, so remember them tonight. I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 49, and we're going to start with the 15th verse. Isaiah chapter 49 and the 15th verse. Now we're reading the 49th chapter and the 15th verse. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. The key word here that I want you to write down with this C is compassion. Now here is a reference to the quality that is to be in a spiritual woman and in a spiritual mother. The scripture read this way, will a woman not have compassion upon her nursing child? Now God is comparing Himself to the qualities of a godly woman. Now God also states that it seems impossible for a woman to forsake a nursing child. There is nothing that is dependable as a nursing child. There is nothing that is as loving as a little nursing child that depends upon its food and its substance from a mother. And God is saying, what mother could forsake a nursing child? It is not the nature of a mother to do that. But He leaves the possibility there, a slight possibility, that this is possible. But He goes on to say that God Himself does not have that slight possibility within Him. His quality is that He will not forsake. I'm glad that God does not have the quality of forsaking any of us. Not losing His compassion towards us. Even while we were sinners, the Bible said that He loved us. Now the word compassion also means understanding. Every godly mother will understand her child and have a compassion for her child. She will have the understanding and the capacity to even think in the way that that child thinks when she's moved by compassion. Now, this is a quality that God has put in a mother that dad sometimes does not have or does not understand even. For instance, there are certain qualities that women have and men do not have. For instance, that mother can sleep through thunderstorms and she can sleep through windstorms and all. But let the child just cough about two times and immediately she's awakened. There seems to be one ear that sleeps and one that is open. And I think that you women will also admit that that old snoring buzzard beside you doesn't have that instinct. Amen? The quality that God has placed in the mother is something different than the father has. You see, men are prone to be mechanically minded and we're automatic in our response. And I say that God forbid that mothers never lose the compassionate spirit that she has. Let me give you an example. My son Luke can fall on the ground and skin his knees out and begin to cry. And I say, oh, get up, son, you're okay. So there's something about mother that runs out there and picks Luke up, takes him inside and cleans the wound, plays a little Mercurochrome on it, put a bandage on his knee. The truth is, mothers' hearts can go out and touch the feeling of a child far more than a father's can. And let me pause right here to say that one reason so many children feel unloved and uncared for today, or frustrated and want to leave home, is because they feel that no one really understands their feelings or have compassion for their feelings. Have you heard it said, nobody understands me? I'm not treated like an adult. Now, I've learned with dealing with young people through the years that there's a critical period in their life between the age of 13 and 20 in which they are especially sensitive to drugs street culture, and even cult. You know why? They need especially understanding during that time. And I want to say to you, mothers, let your children know that you are really concerned and you really care. Don't be too busy to let them know that you care. Because if you're too busy, you can't feel what they are feeling. Now, women, God has given you the ability to do that. But if you get so busy and take it up with other things, you won't be able to feel what you see your children feeling. And when that quality is gone from the home, the child will reach out, I want you to hear this, for someone else or something else that will fulfill that something that cares and understands. And when it happens in a girl especially, who is reaching out, there is always a fellow around who is anxious to give her that care and compassion, as he will bargain with her for a pound of flesh. And let me tell you, there are other vultures waiting around to give her what she's looking for, that compassion, that understanding. And they will sell her drugs, and sometimes turn her into prostitutes, and oftentimes people do not realize how that can even take place. There's the old liquor crowd that'll be with them at the barn to give them that understanding, that fellowship, and compassion. And last night our hearts were broke as we listened to one of the ladies of our church, a nurse that works for the city. And when she told us that little children in the sixth grade can even be given birth control pills in our society where she works. Little girls, 12, 14, 15 years of age, they treat constantly for types of venereal diseases that come into that place. I want to say to everyone in this building that there'll be a judgment day when you folks will stand and thank God for the buses that roll across this old Quad City for the glory of Jesus Christ. You'll thank God for a great youth department that you heard this young man stand up here and say, we've organized this and this and this and this. Jerry Hammond's one of the finest organizers I've ever seen in my life. And organizing and putting the older young people to work, helping them and helping the young ones at the same time. I want to ask you a question, mothers. Do you really and truly have compassion? Do you really and truly care how that child feels? Or are you too busy and say, don't bother me right now. I have too much else to do. It's a godly quality in the mother that has been given to her called compassion. And even as God is compassionate towards us, the Bible said that He's never too busy. He always cares. He's interested in what disturbs us. And I want to pause right there to say, if there are things that disturb you, even as a church that we have here, I do not want them to disturb you. If there's something you don't understand going on in this church, and I'm a busy man, but I want to say that it will hinder your Christian experience. You call up, you get an appointment, either with me, a Pastor Epiphany, a Jerry Hamm, a Brother Coleman, or these men up here voluntarily. And I want to say you come in. I'll be glad to take the time to sit down with you and talk to you, either explain or tell or work with you or go into it. It is not right for any of God's people to be disturbed. And I say that it's a disservice to the family of God, to the ministry, to the church, to the God Himself, for us to harbor things that we do not understand in our heart that disturb us when they could be brought to the front. If you believe that, say a good amen. You see, God does not want us to be disturbed. You'd be surprised the rumors that fly around. I heard one, two today, two in one day. Which I'll tell you, I got a call from a preacher out of town. I think he was fishing. I think he was interested. He said, the rumor's going on all over America that you're resigning the Westside Assembly of God Church. He said, if you are, I'm interested, you know, in coming to pastor. Let me tell you, someone said, what would happen if Pastor Barnett resigned? First of all, they'd be having parties all over town, exchanging presents and so forth. Amen. Second of all, you'd have about 200 people that put in their application to become the pastor of this great and thriving church for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. Pastor Barnett has no intentions, and I don't believe that you could run me off if you wanted to. Amen. So don't get your hopes up. Come on, say a good amen. And as far as I know, unless God get some heavy talking until Jesus comes, I plan to be your pastor. You let somebody come and try to get this job, and he's going to have the awfulest fight he's ever had in his life. Now, you just put that down in your book. Another one said today that Pastor Barnett was getting ready to build between a $250,000 and $300,000 home. He talked to the gas company and it was official. I wish it were true, but it's not. Amen. And the truth is that if I ever got rid of the one I got, I'm moving into an apartment. You put that down too, you know. I had another house. Now, how many realize that rumors can fly? Come on, say a good amen. And we owe it. God does not want us disturbed. We should do everything in our own family, from letting our children to be deferred. I'll try that again. Disturbed. Mom, that is the quality that God has built into you. Now, when we're careless in not developing this quality, we are not the godly mother that God intended us to be. What am I saying we? I'm no mother. I told you one time that I was half woman and half man. I can prove it. My mother was a woman and my dad was a man, so I'm half woman. Amen. Now, dads, I think it might be interesting. Now, think about that a while. Some of you are disturbed out there, I can tell. Dads, it might be interesting for us just to be a little more sensitive to what mother's feeling about the children. Most probably, her instincts or her feelings are most often pretty much on the mark, more so than you can imagine. God has built this into the women, and women, I want to say to us, to you and to us, that you need to develop that instinct that God has given to you as a sensitive person. Listen to what the children are saying. Not only with their mouths, but listen to them by the way they look, their looks, their actions, their reactions. God has made you very sensitive in that matter, so you might discern those things. A godly mother is one that has compassion. Okay, Proverbs 29. You'll turn there, verse 15 through 17. We're going to the next point here. Proverbs 29, 15. Some of you are going to be surprised at this one. Sometimes we think this is only dad's job, but I've got scripture to back it up tonight. Proverbs 29, 15. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase. But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now the first quality we talked about was compassion. The second quality is correction. Or we might call it control, if you please. One of the saddest things that a mother can say is, are you ready for this? Wait till your dad gets home. The father comes in and he's no way related to what the problem has been. And suddenly he is portrayed by the mother unconsciously as a mean villain with a stick in his hand in the eyes of the kid. And also what that mother is saying is, really, you don't have to listen to me anyway. The only one you got really obeys your dad, because he's the only one that'll punish you anyway. And then you wonder why the kids never listen when you say, go to bed! All dad has to say, son, upstairs! And they upstairs they go. Now, if the mother has been the one that's been exposed to the misdemeanor, then she should be the one that administers correction. Last week we talked about when correction should be ministered and how it should be administered. The scripture said today that it should be administered with a rod. The kids do not mind the rod as bad as they do the screams and the yelling that they get in their home. That does more to build resentment. The Bible didn't say scream at them, yell at them, froth at them, call them names, belittle them with eye rubbing. It said the rod. Now, I know, women, there's pressures that you have that men do not have, especially when there's a lot of little ones running around at your feet. And I know it's easy to get up high. The pressure is there. And you've got to be very careful to apply the rod of correction as the rod of correction and not as an explosion or relief. But you must apply it as a benefit to the child, not as your benefit. I'm convinced that a great deal of rebellion is produced by the wrong kind of correction that we show within our children. Now, I have seen little 13-year-old boys and girls come into my office to be counseled with. Their parents have brought them in, and I've looked at their jaw, and it's as tight as a vice itself. I've seen bitterness in their face. They're wanting to love their parents, but because they feel their parents are unfair, there's a real battle going on within their lives. Now, this is particularly true in cases concerning the mothers who've been under emotional distress and have let the children have it when she was under pressure. I want you to turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. Isaiah 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The third C that we're going to talk about is the word comfort. Now, once again, God is talking about His own comforting care. And it refers to the comfort that a mother affords her child as being so closely related to the comfort that He gives to those who love Him. Now, there is no comfort like the comfort that comes from the heart of a godly mother. Again, God put that quality into the breast of a woman that can comfort. The tender hand. The understanding look that comes from a woman. The security of just taking her arm. The fact that she will say the right thing at the right time. And I want to stop right here to say that we live in an age when it's fashionable for women to be hard and be athletic. And I'm not against that. I think that's fine and wonderful for women to be healthy and athletic. An age where they're encouraged to dress like men. Are you saying, Pastor Barnett, are you against the ladies wearing pantsuits and etc.? No, the Bible says that women should not wear men apparel, but I think I'd look kind of funny in a woman's pantsuit. How many agree out there? Amen. That is women's apparel according to the Scriptures. And if you'll analyze it and go back way back to the time of history, you'll find in Bible days, women wore things that looked more like pantsuits and men wore long flowing robes, which we would look all dress things today. What the Bible is referring to there was men trying to look like women, women trying to look like men. He's speaking of this society where they go both ways, as the young people put it. And God is speaking of women trying to look... And by the way, I want to say to you women, after saying that, that we men still prefer to see you in a nice dress. We still think you look prettier and more feminine. Feminine, I can't say it, but I know what I mean. When you wear a nice dress, oh, there's a couple odd ones shaking their heads. We'll check them out after church today. Amen. But we just like to see you in all your majesty and your splendor. This is an age when, by the way, I was at an airport in Dallas. It's been 2 years ago, and a lady was walking down the runway. I was standing there getting ready to get on the plane. I heard a man stop her and said, "Excuse me, ma'am." He was an older man, too, and he was very nice and gentleman when he said that, "I would just like to compliment you. How nice you look in that dress that you're wearing." He said, "It's very unusual to see ladies wear dresses like you do, any like this. And I just want to compliment you how nice you look in that dress." And, you know, there are men around me, and they just, I mean, ungodly sinner men begin to say, "You know, that's right. We don't see that much anymore." And they were compliment. Now, I'm not telling you how to dress, but I am saying to every one of you here, in an age when we compete, in an age today when we're men are competing against the women, don't lose that tenderness. Don't lose that comforting quality. We need more mothers who will say words of encouragement. I mean positive words. Over and over. Did you know about the only communication that some women have with their children is when they're sitting down and discussing negative things? Now you stop and think about their kids are hearing what I'm saying here tonight. And their parents are like, some are going to ignore it and say, well, they're just trying to get a point across. Others of you are going to change your way. And all they hear is people talking about how bad the church is going, how there's a great falling away among the Christians, how bad things are, and that's all they get. Let me tell you something. You're going to get the kind of kids that you talk around what you talk about. If you talk about how God is so good, how wonderful He is, how He's blessing the lives that have been changed, if you'll key on the real born-again Christians and their attributes instead of their failures, you'll develop positive children. Say a good amen. So that's what the Bible says. The Bible said it comes from our lips. And what we speak from our lips, we can have. I stand up here constantly and speak negativism, gloom, talk about the bad things, and talk about the awful things that are happening with people that are not living for God, the two-time persons, and those who live on one side of the fence and the other. But instead, I choose to talk about Jesus. I choose not to magnify the devil. For if I start and talk about the devil's power, and by the way, I'll pause right here to say, he's a roaring lion. He's after the Christians. He would like to get you asunder. He would like to tear you apart. We know this about the devil. But I want you to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Come on, say amen. A little boy came to his dad one day. He just hurt his finger a little and said, Dad, my finger. And his dad was reading the paper. Dad, I hurt my finger. And his dad kept reading the newspaper. Kept reading the finger. Amen. And finally the boy cried out, Oh! And the dad said, What's wrong, son? He said, I hurt my finger. And his dad looked down, it was nothing. And he said, Oh, son, that's nothing. What could I do about it anyway? The little boy said, Well, I guess you could say, Oh. Well, how often do we need somebody just to show that kind of expression? Oh. Somebody to comfort. Somebody that is concerned. None of us have gotten too old that we don't need comfort and we don't need compassion. Men, let's thank God for these sensitive characteristics that God has put in our women. Thank God they have it in their heart. And may it be developed and used in our homes, because if it's not used, our children will not be well adjusted. They will not be the kind of people that they could be. And yet, let me say to you women, these emotional responses must be disciplined. Or else you'll have a tendency, since you are sensitive, to be higher than a kite one day and lower than the valley the next day. And I've seen women that even expect, when they're low in the valley, their children to come and encourage them. You should never expect of your children to encourage you. You should expect to encourage them. Don't ever expect them to minister to you. Yours is a life of giving. And you see, my friends, when you expect to receive, you can only minister to one. But when you live the life of living for the others, you can minister to almost 4 billion people. And you can be happy 4 billion times because you have chose to live for others. Okay, Proverbs 1. Turn with me to Proverbs 1. Verse 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now here's another word that starts with C that's called counsel. Or it could be instruction or teaching. The Bible said, forsake not the law of thy mother. It's too bad that too many mothers break their own law. Let me illustrate. Now, mothers are often prone, after a period of time, to lay down certain laws and expectations that sometimes are unreasonable. And then they have to back down to the demands that they've made. And when that happens, the child loses respect for his mother. Now, let me give you a couple things first. Think before you say what the rule is. Number two, make the rule reasonable. Then you won't have to back down. Because once you have made a reasonable rule, live by it, don't back down, and don't compromise. Because once you compromise that rule, there is no value anymore in it. Now, if a child can get you to compromise the rule, then you might as well write the rule off forever. It's no good. The fact is that they can manipulate you if they will. If they can, they will manipulate you. And if you tell them to be in at 10 o'clock, say that's a rule, they ought to be in at 10 o'clock come hell or high water. Amen? I mean, that ought to be the gospel written in ink, signed in blood. By the way, that's why many are not living in respect today to their parents, because their parents didn't respect their own law whatsoever. You see, every law that God Himself lays down, He respects. You better believe that there's going to become a day of judgment. And at that day, the Bible said that He's going to bring all the rules and all the laws to bear upon our own lives. I'm talking about counsel, instruction, and teaching. All right, let's go to our last one. It is found in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Turn with me to Titus 2 and verse 4. Titus 2 verse 4. It follows 2 Timothy for some of you having trouble finding that little book. Page 1139 in your PTO Bible. Amen. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keeper of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All right? The word I want to key on here is the word care. You thought I was going to put obedience. I know. We hear a lot on the radio today about children eating junk foods. And thank God that we're hearing about it. I think we need to hear about it now. We also hear a great deal to do about children's discipline and their nerve problems. We call them hyperactive now. By the way, when I was a kid, they would have called me ultra hyperactive. I sat on the front row. Now, this is true. The invite knew me. Said, I was never still. You think I'm still that way? I know. But I'd sit on the front row during church, and I'd go like this the whole time. Just sit there and I'd go. The teacher right home knows and said he just wiggles all the time in class. Yeah. Go, brother. Go. And I mean, my parents really had to work on that. And my dad sometime would apply the rule of education. Amen. And I want to be honest with you. I'd get all kinds of quirks. I got where I'd pray. At the end of my prayer, I'd go, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. It's truth. My dad said, son, say amen one time. I mean, I got a lot of quirks. And then I got where, I'm scared to demonstrate, I got a cold, that I'd go all the time, blow my nose, like that. And I'd go around all the time. My dad said, if you do that again, I'm going to knock your head off, you know. And so I began to go, in a duck when I did. By the way, it's a parent that loves her child to say, son, you quit that. And every time they do it, take the time to say, quit that quirk. Come on, say a good amen. Now that's loving your child. Don't let them develop the little quirks that'll make them an odd rod the rest of their life. Say they're hyperactive or they're just nervous. What they need is a little discipline along the way. Come on, say a good amen. A lot of folks come to my office and say, my kid is so bad, you think he's got a demon? Now let me tell you something, friend. If he's got a demon, you don't have to ask the preacher, you'll know it. If you've ever seen demon possession, my friends, I have seen it. It is a roaring lion, person out of control, a person that could tear you asunder. We attribute demons, to everything if we don't watch a day, instead of just asking God to bring that spirit under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say a good amen. Come on. You don't have to have anybody tell you whether you're saved or not. You know whether you're saved. Everybody knows you're saved. Say a good amen. And so it is in our lives. And so it is with our children. Okay, I'm talking to you about caring. Oh, I'm going to hurt some people here, but please love me. I know children that have gotten in and out of beds for days without that bed being made up. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's always been silly to make up a bed because you're going to get back in it that night. And I figured up one time how many hours were saved in a lifetime by not making up beds, you know. But the truth is, the importance of making that bed is you're showing that little girl or boy that you care. I've been home. My little shirts, you know, they starched them in with all that trouble. And they had big collars when I was a little kid. And she'd starch those things so starchy. I mean, they'd rub your neck raw for a week. How many know what I'm talking about? She would even iron the pillowcases and the sheets. And we'd lay on them and wrinkle them the next night. You'll say, preacher, you're getting me in trouble, you know. I'm not suggesting that you go to all that. I know we got fabrics and improvement and ages change and things change. But I want to say to you, in my heart, I remember that she really cared. She's trying to give me the best, the cleanliest, and nicest condition. I'm talking about this. I'm going to bust through this, and I'll be through it in 5 minutes. Hang on now. I'm going to give you 7 needs of the children, mothers. You may want to write them down. Number one, they need to be recognized. The little boy said, I'm not going to eat. You know why he's not eating? He wants you to say, son, eat your beans. He wants to be noticed. Why does a little girl throw the temper tantrum and fall on the ground? She wants to be noticed. Pick her up and paddle her bottom. They'll take care of that. Amen. She's saying, look here, look here. There are 3 basic assumptions that we must avoid. Number one, it is false to assume that the parent-child relationship has priority over the husband and wife relationship. Never. Marriage is permanent. But parenthood is passive. Mother, that little darling that you love will someday be taken out of your nest. Now, she'll tell you now, Christy told me when she's a little girl that she would not grow up. She promised me. I promised, Daddy, I'll never grow up. She's already talking about getting married. Matthew came along. He said, Dad, I won't let you down. And that dirty rascal has broke his word. He's getting big. He told me it's stable. And the truth is, someday they're going to grow up and leave. But whether you'd like to exchange it or not, old dad's still going to be around. And ladies, you got to remember that. You must avoid this situation. We had a good marriage before our kids came along. There are more than one dad in this building that would not admit it. Don't raise your hands, fella. Who are jealous of your own children. I want to tell you why. Because you were wanting a little attention. The mom always says you're a little bit too tired to show you a little attention. But when Johnny skins his knees, she jumps and she's energetic. Mother and Dad, are you listening to me? Show affection one to another in front of the children. And here's one that is hard to obey, but don't disagree. And I'm preaching at you and to you and to me today in front of the children. And I know it's the easiest thing to do. We all fail that way. Now, the disagreements will come. Men and women who do not have disagreements are sick. And the guy who tells you he doesn't is spiritually sick. He's a liar. Because any healthy marriage has disagreements. But show your affection in front of the children. Number two, there's a false assumption that a child deserves to be the center of attention. Now, there's a times when the children deliberately should not be the center of attention, because that child's going to grow up self-centered and selfish. And if he doesn't get the attention that he needs, then he will rebel. By the way, we taught all of our kids in college to be leaders. We sent them all off to be leaders.
And that's why they rebel in the streets. When everybody becomes a leader, you have no followers, and then you have anarchy. Something ought to be said for followers as well as leaders, because most of the world's people will be followers. Come on, say amen. So don't let them always be the center of attention. Sometimes they sons, be still. This is adult conversation, just be still to the point. You see, we develop the kind of character in the child. If you don't watch it, then it's all right to demand attention. And I want a gift instead of gift. Children must be controlled by the family. Children must not control the family. For I have seen families broken up by little children manipulating mom and dad. And by the way, if the parents' relationship is a good one, you'll never have children come in between the parents. And if it happens that way, your marriage is in trouble, you need to pray that God will give you a union between husband and wife. I will touch on this next week. The truth is that a great percentage of the parents I know are literally afraid of 8, 9, and 10-year-old kids. They literally rule their parents. Third, there's a false assumption that children should be pushed into mature roles too rapidly. We're all guilty of it. We laugh about it, but we buy the boy electric train. Or we dress our little three-year-old girl up like a teenage girl. You know what happens? Parents, we are trying, in many cases, to live vicariously through our children. I've seen fathers try to make athletes out of their boys, you know what I'm talking about, who had no interest in athletics whatsoever. And that is wrong. Children should never be compared to other children. And you should never, parents, compare yourself to other parents. If you're doing your best, you're the best parents they could ever have because you're doing your best, and there's nothing better than your best. Come on and say a good amen. Next. Here's some things y'all do. Let those children help you around the house. Let them realize that work is not a punishment. It's great. It's blessed. Work is honored. It's the highest esteem. Brag on work instead of using it all the time for punishment. Number three, let your children speak for themselves. Have you ever seen, you ask Johnny a question, and his mom and dad answers the question? Four, spend time with your children alone, with each one of them. I read where the average father now, did you hear that last night on the news, spends 7 minutes with his children a day. The 7 minutes. Number five, trust your children occasionally on things that will surprise them. I'll never forget the first year my parents told me I could go to Texas on the Rock Island Rocket. I was only about 4 years old. Really? They put me on the train. They said to the conductor, he's going to Bowie, Texas. Don't get off until he gets to Bowie, Texas, where the Rock Island Rocket stops. First time I ever heard of Rock Island. I got on that train, every stop I'd say, are we at Bowie, Texas yet? When I got to Bowie, Texas, well, you don't think I thought big. Now, the truth was, the conductor was watching me, and they were caring for me. I'll never forget the time that my dad said for the first time, son, go out and start the car. Surprised me to death. It was cold. He didn't want to get cold. That's what it was. I remember one day my mother said, son, go to the store and pick out anything you want me to fix you tonight. Guess what I picked out? A can of hot tamales. Amen. I close now. Brothers, some of you got husbands that are insane. You got a hard road to handle. But I want to tell you some of the greatest men of God, like Susan Lester. If you want to bring it up today, like Dr. Jack Hiles, that old drunkard for a dad, that when he heard he's going to be a preacher, hit him in the mouth and knocked him down and stomped him and said, preachers are nothing more than a bunch of money grabbers, and walked away and came back again and talked him again. Hit it 3 or 4 times, and finally came back and spit on him and said, well, if you're going to be a preacher, why don't you just build the biggest church in the world? That's what he did. But he had no godly mother. I told him that he could do it, and she loved him. And he almost worshiped the ground his mama walked on. Some of the greatest men of God had dads that were despised. Wretched men. But those mamas loved them and showed them Jesus. Susan Wesley had 13 children, yet she got up early in the morning and prayed. What was it, 3 or 4 hours a day? Unbelievable. They asked her how she could afford to take that much time. She said she couldn't afford not to take that much time. Mothers that show compassion, correction, comfort, counsel, and care. For these children have basic needs, and they'll all be taken care of up here. Thank God for godly, wonderful women. We love you very much and thank God for you. Heavenly Father, in this teaching tonight, I trust the Holy Spirit has ministered to these wonderful ladies. We felt your presence, Lord. You've been so real. You're so great and you're so loving and you're so compassionate. Lord, Westside will be a stronger church with godly mothers who continue